Please turn your Bibles to the book of Esther. Ooh, that's a challenge. The book of Esther. Where do I go? We use the use them in the thumb method, right? Use them in the thumb. And it's before Psalms. It's right before the book of Job. And please turn to the book of Esther, chapter 6. Book of Esther, chapter 6. And for this brief time, I'd like to speak about the ways of the Lord, how God works. God works in mysterious ways. And let me get my hymn book here. I forgot to bring this up with me to the platform. So we will. I want to quote something from the hymn book. William Cowper wrote these words way back in the 1700s. God moves in a mysterious way. A lot of times you hear people quote it, God works, but God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. And I always love this particular stanza right here, the fourth stanza. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may be a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. And that's, of course, the work of God in our lives. And he both works in us, both the will and do of his good pleasure, as Philippians tells us. And sometimes those ways are not the most pleasant ways. And the bud can be a little bitter, but the sweetness of the flower is what is to be coming in at the result of that. So we just trust that the Lord will bless in the work that God has for us in our lives. Esther chapter 6 is what we're looking at right now. And I want to talk about how God does work in ways that we don't expect. And we have the account here of the night of sleepless night of King Ahasuerus. And this is, of course, during the Persian Empire time. And Esther is the main focus of this portion. But let's just take a look at some of these things that unfolded that night. Verse 1, Esther chapter 6 and verse 1. That night the king could not sleep. So one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers, who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Verse 3, then the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? And the king's servants who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. So the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman, and that's where the music changes, right? Minor key, he's the bad guy. Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. The king's servant said to him, Haman is there, standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king asked him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest placed on its head. Then let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of the one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor. Then parade him on horseback through the city square, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Verse 10, then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai the Jew who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken. So Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him on horseback through the city square, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Afterward, Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house, mourning, with his head covered. And when Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, You will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs came, and hastening to bring Haman to the banquet, which Esther had prepared. And God will bless, of course, the reading and blessing and obedience to his precious word. Well, what an interesting course of events right here, right? You talk about a turn by surprise here. This is the key chapter that would really highlight that. How God does work in a mysterious way. How he often works in ways we don't expect. You know, we look at the scriptures and we read the scriptures and we say, okay, this is what the Lord wants me to do, and so I'm going to do those things. And when you obey the Lord, you figure, well, there's going to be a good consequence as a result of obeying the Lord. And so you obey the Lord, and yet things don't happen the way that you might think they would work and would unfold. And that's the way God often works in the life of the believer. This is what it means to understand the ways of the Lord. It is indeed a mysterious way in which God works, sometimes not the way that we would think. Now, just for the storyline here in this chapter, chapter 6 of Esther, Ahasuerus didn't get a good night's sleep. Well, I'm sure there are many of us have had those situations where we didn't get a good night's sleep for whatever reason. You may have something on your mind. Something might be bothering you from the course of the day or for that week or for that month or whatever it might be. Maybe you just had a Coke and it had a lot of caffeine on it. You didn't get to sleep for that reason. We don't know. But regardless, when you can't get to sleep, then what happens? Someone said, you know, if you have a hard time going to sleep, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. That's a good way to handle it, you know, that you can talk to the shepherd and be comforted by the promises of God. But sometimes when we don't get a good night's sleep, then the things that are we have conflicts with seem to rise to the top. They may not have kept you awake in the beginning, but then when you're laying there and you're trying to go to sleep and you can't go to sleep, some of the conflicts come to the top and cause you to be restless and go through some problems there. The question is, why did it happen with Ahasuerus? We don't know. But God was certainly in the details. You know, you hear this phrase, the devil's in the details. Well, you know, God is in the details too. And God was certainly in the details in this situation. Because even though Ahasuerus couldn't get to sleep, God used that event in the life of King Ahasuerus to begin and trigger certain events that would take place. And so we read here that as he couldn't go to sleep, one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. So other people were up, his attendants, and he says, bring the books. So the books are brought to him and begins reading, and he found in these Chronicles, in verse 2, that there was an assassination attempt on his life previously by his attendants in his court. We read that verse 2, and these two people are identified, Bigthana and Teresh, it says, and they sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus as an assassination attempt. And the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? He goes back and he says, how come that he wasn't honored? Was anything done? And the answer was no, nothing was done. You know, sometimes the deeds that we do or whatever it might be aren't immediately recorded. Or we're not told about it. And we may be bothered by that. Hey, nobody's recognizing me. No one's acknowledging me. Who knows? Maybe the Lord has something in store down the road. You have to keep these things in mind. It really comes down, doesn't it, to be a matter of trust in the Lord. Asking the Lord to guide our steps. We want recognition for something that we've done. And so we want the pat on the back, perhaps, right away. We want to be acknowledged for what we did. And if somebody doesn't give it to us, then perhaps we're slighted by it. But who knows? Maybe the Lord is working through those details. And that's what happened here. Because this is sometime afterwards that Ahasuerus finds out that Mordecai was never rewarded for the deeds that he had done. He had foiled an assassination plot against the king. And nothing had been done to acknowledge that. But then it's found out in the course of time, through God's sovereign hand, through events of just a sleepless night, things were going to happen, which ultimately would be used for God's purposes. So he finds out that Mordecai was not awarded for this. In verse 4, he says, by the way, who's out in the court? Now, I assume this is at nighttime, because that's when he was supposed to be sleeping. And guess who just happens to be there? A fellow by the name of Haman. who had it in for Mordecai. He wanted Mordecai dead. And, of course, he had built gallows to hang Mordecai. And you have to know the storyline here of the Book of Esther. But the just in summation, he was working to do Mordecai in. And so he had gallows built for the express purpose of hanging Mordecai on those gallows. And he just happens, isn't that interesting, to be there when King Ahasuerus reads this book and asks his attendants, why wasn't anything done? All of a sudden he says, who's out there, by the way, in the foyer? And it just so happens that it's Haman that's out there. Now, King Ahasuerus says, well, you know, I have plans to show honor to the person I have a delight in. Of course, Haman is thinking, he's got to be talking about me. It's kind of like a sitcom here, isn't it? Somebody didn't get him the memo what he's talking about. And so he says, oh, he's got to be referring to me. He says, what should I do, King says? What should I do to the person I have a delight in? Well, self-absorbed Haman right here says, oh, I know what you can do. Do this. Get the person who you delight in, get him on a horse and parade him through town and show great honor to him. And Haman, in those very words, is doing himself in. He doesn't even realize it. But this is how God works in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. And so he really drums it up, doesn't he, here in verse 6. Haman comes in. King asks him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights? And Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? And so Haman answered and really does it up in these following verses. Verse 10, King said to Haman, hurry then, take the robe and horse as you've suggested, and do so for Mordecai. Boy, can you imagine Mordecai's horror? I mean, not Mordecai, I'm sorry, Haman's horror when he heard this. That, oh, we're going to take Mordecai and put him up on high, and he's going to be paraded through the streets. I imagine what Haman was saying all the time. How can this be? I thought he was talking all about me. And so he takes him and honors him and comes back. And even his own wife says, hey, listen, this doesn't sound very good for you if Mordecai is going to be honored in this way. And so there we see, and even including in chapter 7, how events unfold, even in chapter 7, how things happen there. But in this particular chapter is a prime example of how God works in ways that we don't always understand. That's really the essence of the Christian life. It comes down to faith, doesn't it? Right? It comes down to faith. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, right? You know, God honors faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. We're asked to trust him, to live for him, even when things sometimes don't make sense. And here with Ahasuerus, we see how God used this night of sleeplessness to accomplish his purposes without any human intervention, in a sense, without the planning. We have, you know, you hear in business, many of the brethren here, I'm sure, have been in business, and you hear planning meetings and strategic meetings and all that sort of thing. Even here, an emphasis on like the 1040 window, you know, most of the population of the world are within those lines of latitude across the globe. You know, I'm just thinking about Philip the Evangelist. You know, he had a successful gospel campaign to the north there in Acts chapter 8. And God says, I want you to go down to Gaza, which is desert. For what? For the sake of one person. Not for a huge population center. He was in it. The gospel, you know, there was some success there, certainly. But for one person, one soul is important to the Lord. And it was the leading of the Lord to have Philip go down to Gaza, which is desert. It wouldn't even make sense. But there is one person who had a divine appointment there with Philip, and that would be that Ethiopian eunuch who came to know Christ. I'm sure he would say, I'm thankful you came all the distance here when there would be no possible reason. God accomplishes his purposes that way. Ruth was out in her field gleaning, and all of a sudden she comes across Boaz, who just happened to be there. Haman just happens to be here. Ahasuerus just happened to have a sleepless night. He just happens to get the book read to him, or he reads it, whatever, and finds out that Mordecai was not rewarded way back then. How about if Mordecai was recorded back then? What would have happened to the story? How about, it says in Joseph's situation that his brothers rejected him, put him in the pit, and then they were taken up again. He was taken up again, and he was forgotten. He was in jail. And, they said, oh, we'll tell their story, and, the story is forgotten, and Joseph languishes in jail for a while. But then he becomes prime minister. If you had said to Joseph way back early on, you're going to be prime minister of Egypt, and then all these events took place, he would have panicked. He says, it's not according to plan. I got to fix the plan. I got to put my hands to the work and try to make this thing happen. And he would have messed it all up. Because God was still working in this situation, despite the rejection, despite being forgotten in jail. And eventually he would be up there. This is how God works. Works in ways we don't understand. We like to think that we can put it together. But it says of Moses that he saw him who is invisible. That's the Lord working. The unseen hand of God always at work. And God may be working in your life and in my life in ways we don't understand. And we think we can put it all together. We can figure it out. Not so. That's how it was here with Ahasuerus. So over and over again, you see these things throughout Scripture. Say, for instance, when the Lord was on the cross, they wrote that title, King of the Jews. And all of a sudden the crowd says, no, don't put that there. Put there that he said he was the king of the Jews. Pilate said, what he's written, I've written. I don't want to change it now. God was accomplishing his purposes through the mistakes of people. There's a mistake here with Mordecai. He wasn't on it. That was an oversight. And God was working through that mistake. So this is these in some cases are the ways of the Lord, the ways how God works. He can work through mistakes. There is a great verse that's found in Psalm 76, verse 10. It says that the God uses the wrath of man to praise him, and the remainder of wrath he shall restrain. Somehow, some way, God can even use wrong edicts, wrong decrees, wrong things that represent the wrath of man, and somehow use that to praise him. God can work through those situations. And so we see it here so clearly in the case of Ahasuerus, without his night's sleep. Those who come to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So this is not meant to be long. I'll wrap up in a minute. But I'm speaking this to you here today. Maybe there is something that is not going right in your life. And you're saying, Lord, why are you letting this happen? And you want to put your hands on a steering wheel and you want to steer your way through it because what you think would be the right way. How do you know? Joseph would say it. Maybe Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was told he was going to stand before kings and before the Gentiles and before the children of Israel in a great way. And then he gets thrown in jail. He says, that doesn't work. And he could have panicked and tried to change the script. And God was accomplishing that. Taking him to Rome and all the rest in his prison imprisonment. God can work in powerful ways. Indeed, he works in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. And so keep that in mind when things aren't going according to what you think is the way God should work. Because God, what you do is you commit your way. Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting. I'm asking you to give me the assurance I'm in the center of your will. If you're not compromising in Scripture, you can continue to move ahead, trusting the Lord and letting him move the pieces in place so that his will is accomplished. That's what happened here in this case with Mordecai. Mordecai could have said, hey, no one recognized me. I'm going to have to make this known. And would have really messed it up because God had his timing in place. And it was going to be according to God's timetable, not Mordecai's. Something that we didn't need to know in the Christian life. So this is just a practical reminder to you that we're called to a life of faith and trust in the Lord, letting Him work in us and through us for His good pleasure. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you again for these reminders from your precious word of how you do work indeed in a mysterious way, so many different ways. And sometimes it is tough to stand still. And yet, Father, we're encouraged to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so we pray that you teach us this valuable life lesson in the Christian life. And so we ask these things, ask that you bless your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.